Welcome to Waifimo.com, the podcast hosted by me, Roger Lopez Bennett, a born dreamer. In this podcast, we feature young entrepreneurs who have founded their first startup before 30. Why? Well, because under 30 founders are rare and sometimes not taken seriously, but their stories are even more interesting than the rest. And before starting this episode, let me remind you that extra information about the speakers can be found on waifimo.com/podcast. Enjoy! And so now that you just mentioned the percentage, what percentage would you give to a co-founder?
It depends on what they do for the company. Yeah. You know, I've had people approach me and want to take, a quarter of the company to essentially be co-founder and but they had massive amounts of influence. They know all the major brands. They have, built, billion-dollar companies. They have funding. They have, all these things in place. So you have to weigh out what they bring to the table. That's really what it comes down to.
Cool. And when did you start Charity?
Idea was probably, 2012, 13 or something like that. 2012, we started getting patents on it. I didn't go full time with Charity. It was just small things. And we were developing the platform. It took a couple of years to develop it and just a lot of things going on, but, and then I had real estate that I was doing in between there. And then full time was 2016 into 2017.
Wow. And throughout all these years, have you had any growth issues? And if so, how have you dealt with them?
We've had a lot of pivots, a lot of things that, a lot of it was, when we first started out, we were an app. Right. And then, we went to one of these big events at one point and we're like, hey guys, you just need to download the app and then do this fun challenge on there and whatever. And it's just like, I don't have room on my phone to download an app. I don't have this. So then we pivoted and it's all web app and it's all text now, So there's a lot of things that we learned along the way that made things a lot easier and quicker to do. So I think it's a lot of it is about just learning right along the way. Our core product probably didn't really start until 2016, 17, 18. Okay. And then, as far as traction and growth, we've seen bits and pieces. We saw a lot up until 2020. And then all of a sudden 2020 came, we did a lot of live events. We did a lot of walk run events and stuff. And obviously live events went away. So we had to pivot again. So then we pivoted to the action button for good, adding it to any advertisement anywhere in the world. So Nike does an amazing ad, right? Just don't do it for the Black Lives Matter movement. They want to align with their customers, right? One of the biggest things that brands want to do is align with the customers where they are. So they do this advertisement. You have to remember that, oh, Nike now, I remember it because I'm in the business of doing that, right? Mm-hmm. But a lot of people don't even remember that. Yeah. But what if they could take action with it? And that's what we do. So do the challenge, put your hand over your heart or whatever for, the movement, and, Nike will donate $5, right? So we're a quick way to add an action button to any campaign. So we kind of pivoted out of the live events world into, this more virtual world of, virtual events and social media, marketing, TV, radio, online, everything.
Wait, so let me get it right. So it started as a live event kind of thing, and then you pivoted?
Live event platform, and now it's kind of transformed into, it's always had that aspect of it though. Oh. So at live events, people shared outside the event, but we never focused on just we never felt focused on for example, TV ads or anything that. Right. So now think about, seeing a TV commercial or a social media commercial and just texting to participate in it. So we just add that action now to whatever the brand is doing.
Okay.
So there's really not a lot for them to add except, essentially a text code if they want to take action.
Okay.
And then then obviously our platform kicks in from there and they see the challenge, they do the challenge, they share it, track their influence, rewards, all that stuff.
Cool. And what was your biggest down moment in your career as an entrepreneur?
Biggest down moment, I think there's been a lot of them.
Yeah,
there's been
And then tell me the biggest, the best moment later. So, we have both.
I don't know. I mean, I don't think there's no specific moments. We've had some, as far as the company goes, we've had some really good good times and we've had some really bad times. And I don't think you can prepare for either. They just kind of come out of the blue.
Yeah.
What I would say though, is you can't get too high and you can't get too low. Because every single, like, I mean, you know, life is like a heartbeat, right? So it's like, it goes up and down and up and down and up and down and up and down and up and down. And when it flatlines is when you're dead, right?
Yeah.
So you have to expect that everything in life is gonna go up and down. And so some of these, like the best moments, the worst moments, you know, they kind of combine into just moments, right? And they're not like a good or a bad thing. I see them all as like blocks that you just, yeah, you stack up, and this is the block of what I did while I was here on Earth, right? And so, you know, you can look back and you can say these are good or these are bad, but, you know, looking back, I look at them as just, that's who I was. And those are the issues that I dealt with. And those are the solutions that I was able to solve. Right. I think I pride myself on being able to solve problems. So, you know, solving those issues at that point in time are really important. It's really important to kind of pull yourself out of the perspective and look at it as a whole, right? Like, look at it as if you were watching yourself on TV, you know, going through this and say, wow, look at that guy going through all that stuff right now. Like, you know, if he only did this or this, the one thing you cannot do is kind of just hide in a corner somewhere.
Yeah.
Because that's when you lose.
And, you know, it's all about, I always say it's all about the perspective you take on, you know, events like this. So, yeah.
Exactly.
And so you also mentioned that you started your first company at, you know, 15, 16. And so have you had any issues with your age? Not been taken seriously?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, and I guess I still kind of look young for my age, but I think, you know, in the beginning, I got it a lot. I was, you know, and you always had to make up for it. So whether it was mowing somebody's lawn, like, how are you going to take care of my lawn? Are you sure you're going to be here every week to mow it? Right in the beginning, they didn't trust you, and then you build trust. And when you start building trust, they recommend you to friends, and it kind of takes off from there. And, you know, when I was doing like large loans at banks in my early 20s, like $1 million loans at banks, like I walk in and they're like, who are you? Like, they're expecting somebody with gray hair, right?
Yeah.
I mean, even older than I am now, going in there and getting the types of loans I was getting. But, you know, you set the track record with people, and then they know you fulfill on your promises. And that's the only thing that you can do, is you say, give me a chance, let me prove it to you. And then you fulfill on your promises, and you just kind of keep building it up from there.
You have to know exactly what you're doing. And then you prove them that, you know, you're serious, because you know what you're doing. So, right. Yeah.
Yeah, you do. I mean, that's a good point too, because, you know, you have to be an expert on what you're doing, yeah, right? And I do remember, you know, even when I was doing landscape construction or like construction or any of those things, like I had to prove probably 2x or 3x value for all my competitors that were out there that were like bidding against the same jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that came through with, you know, just knowledge about like the plants, or knowledge about like the building systems, or like how we did things better than everybody else, and why this was going to be a better investment than anybody else. And when they, and it was building that trust and building that relationship with people. So it's very important.
So if you Google charity on, you know, Google, you find that you got 700K in investment in, you know, 2020. And so how was the process of, you know, getting it or looking for investors? Yeah, how was it?
Well, it's pretty easy because it came from my own pocket. So,
oh, okay. okay.
Yeah, we didn't, I haven't dealt with any, we haven't had any outside investment yet.
Okay.
Well, the angel funder was myself.
Okay.
I funded my own business, and I still maintain, you know, like 96 or 7% of the company.
And are you looking for, you know, external investors?
Yeah, we're looking for the right ones.
Okay.
We have a lot of people that want to give us, you know, a couple $100,000 here and there. And, you know, we're looking for smart money. We're looking for people that, you know, can bring us to the next level. Like right now I can play in this world. I feel like I can play in this world forever. Like this kind of world of like, you know, 10,000 users, whatever, you know, up to 100,000 users or something. But if I want to push millions, you know, hundreds of millions of users, we need to kind of get into the bigger fields, right? Where we can get the bigger audiences, which means more money, which means more influence, which means more people knowing about us. Mm-hmm. And that's all marketing. It's all advertising. It's all who you know. It's all influencers. Yeah, it's the bigger game.
Cool. And, you know, almost finishing up here. Where do you see Charity in 2 years?
Well, I think we have an exponentially scalable platform. And I really see, you know, if you think about it, one person brings five people on, you know, those five people bring another two or three people, those people bring four or five people on. We don't scale like any other, you know, social media app out there, right? Even the biggest, you know, scaling one of its time was Snapchat, right? And they scaled, you know, really quickly. And a lot of them have kind of had that similar model, right? Where, you know, they feed on word of mouth, but never when it's like how we do it, right? Because we have a very proprietary platform where people can just do quick actions and they literally just, you know, they, you know, the whole sign up process is all in one. It's not like they have to sign up, download something, do something else. It's like literally all in the same motion. So it's snap, raise, share, and that's it.
And do you see any of these social networks kind of copying Charity, kind of copying what you're doing?
Maybe some people might try and do it, but we do have IP and patents on this, and you know we've done this for a while. So anybody that does do it,
see you in court.
You know, we probably have grounds. We probably have grounds at this point because I mean we're the only people like kind of baking it all around social influence and everything that we have and all the blockchain type technology for tracking and. The unique way that we do it with you know, Snap, Raise, Share, and the web interface and the text and all that stuff is all proprietary. So if they do it, then, you know, they probably end up, you know, buying us or doing something along those lines, you know, or trying to buy us, I would think. But.
Cool. And, you know, okay. So what's your goal in life and what do you want to be remembered for?
Well...
So, you know, just so you know, everyone hates this question.
I actually like this question because that's what we think about all the time at Charity. And we're a platform for the people to kind of make, you know, if you think about, you know, 10 years ago, people would say, like, what do you want on your gravestone? Right now, it's like, you know, how do you want to be remembered, like on social media? You know, do you want to be remembered like jumping off a building drunk into a pool like during your college days? Or do you want to be remembered for all the good that you did in the world and how you helped people and make it a better place for everybody else around you? That's why we're inviting people to be part of this company. It's a people-centric platform where people can, you know, turn a lot of the negative that's in social media into good. And, you know, if you look back and you see, like imagine your kids looking at you at some of the stuff and maybe you didn't do all the crazy stuff that a lot of people are doing right now, but you know, imagine them looking at you and saying, hey, why did you do that stuff back then? Right? Why didn't you help society? Why didn't you move things forward when there was these movements, when there was these chances to do it? You know, we always look back at like our, you know, you even look back at your grandparents or something and like they either fought in the war or they didn't fight in the war and we're always like, well, why did you, why didn't you, like, or whatever it is, or what side were you on, or how could you let this happen, right, type of thing.
Yeah.
It's really how do you want to be remembered? And Charity helps you build that and take back that social influence, you know? So I see this as being a huge turning point in society where people start taking back their social influence, demanding that brands donate money because of them to create better relationships, and then buy products in a whole new way.
Cool.
And I see that this will have an effect for decades in you know, centuries to come, hopefully, but it'll be remembered forever because it's never going away. Your digital footprint is never going away. So the ability to start tracking it now and realizing the benefits of it now, but then realizing later that, this is going to create an entire story for you that's going to be shared for generations after you're gone. So when you say, like, how do I see myself, or like, you know, how do I see my life going? I see it starting this kind of, you know, this spark that hopefully catches this wildfire of realization that, you know, your social online presence is worth something. Your digital presence is worth something. It should be utilized in a different way. It should be monetized in a different way. And collectively, people can be part of the solution, right? Being part of that community to do good and have social change and impact in the world.
Wow. Okay. Like, you know, I love this conversation. At points, it was very deep, but, you know, it was pretty cool. It was pretty cool. Well, Ben, thanks for coming. Thanks for joining us. You know, I think I enjoyed it. I think our listeners enjoyed it as well. And yeah, thanks.
Yeah, thanks. Anytime.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the end of today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. I certainly did. And I hope and I'm sure you will enjoy next week's episode coming on Tuesday. So I thought, oh, let them listen a snippet of the next episode. And here it is.
The easiest way, I think, for everyone to start is Alibaba. You have to buy, like, for example, 100 products or 500 or including more, okay? So, and I look for factories that could manufacture the product I wanted, okay? Or something similar I wanted. And that, once I was there, I text them, okay? They, in China, because all of the manufacturers used to be in China, they use an application called or named WeChat, okay? Yeah. That's when I started to contact with all these factories via WeChat. And yeah, we were like, yeah, negotiating prices and all this kind of stuff. And but first, before doing the first order, I...
Okie dokie, guys. Well, that's all for now. So I guess I'll see you next time. But please, 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 before you go, don't forget to subscribe, you know, follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, on YouTube as well, wherever you listen to this or watch it. And yeah, on social media, so you don't miss anything we post and you stay up to date, right? And yeah, well, I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.